Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord, right? Hey, where's Scott Mosley? He's here somewhere in this service. There he is. That's one of our elders who did that little, I'm not even going to try. I can't move like him. Oh, we got to get you back on the worship team and add a little bit more of that up on here every now and then, brother. Nice job. Thanks for having a great sense of humor. If you have your Bibles, open them up and join me in the letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth. 1 Corinthians, we're in the 12th chapter. For those of you who maybe your first time here or you've been in and out this year, 10 months ago we started this journey verse by verse by verse through 1 Corinthians. We are now in the 12th chapter. We've already covered the 13th, and so we have one more to go because we already did the 15th and the 16th earlier in the year, kind of jumped out of sequence a little bit. But in October, and by before Thanksgiving, we'll finish up 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. But for those of you who haven't been with us, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter back to the Church of God. He planted the church, was there for about 18 months, left to plant other churches and to check on other ministries. And while he was gone, some of the wheels started falling off, or getting a little wobbly, if you will. Things weren't going well. There were factions, there were divisions within the body of Christ in Corinth, and they had written Paul, and obviously in the letter that they had written, we don't have that letter, but they must have been asking him questions, because as he writes them back, he addresses things as if, now about this that you asked, I tell you this. And so we're kind of picking that up in chapter 12. Paul is answering questions, and he's addressing things of the Spirit and the grace gifts or the charismata of the believers in Jesus. See, what was happening, Paul had taught and would have taught the church that once you receive Christ as your Savior and Lord for the forgiveness of sins, you also are given the main gift, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts to believers. And what's happening, unfortunately, many within the local church were wrongly using these grace gifts. They were making a show of themselves and drawing attention to themselves, and they were making a mockery of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul's going to address that. Join me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. He says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Let me stop there. I highlighted that because the word gifts is really not in the original language in the Greek. Why they chose to put that there, I'm not sure, because the Greek word for gifts is the same word that we get charisma, right, from. And that is used later on when we get to it in just a little bit. But the more correct translation of that would be like this. "Now about the things of the Spirit," or the stuff of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, "I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans," in other words, before you came to Christ, "somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. You worshiped other gods that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Paul says, listen, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be unaware about the things of the Spirit. In other words, don't be ignorant, agnoeo, right, about spiritual things. See, what was happening is that one of the gifts of the Spirit was causing confusion, division, and separation within the church at Corinth, and that was the gift of tongues. Now, this is important. We've got to remember, we looked at this at the very beginning, back in January when we started the series, that in that culture in Corinth, people who were well-spoken, the eloquent orators, those who have a silver tongue in speaking, were held in high esteem. It would not have been unusual for a person to stand in the center of the town and begin to orate about various kinds of knowledge, and people, the crowds would draw, as that would have been their entertainment of the day. Matter of fact, parents would even pay certain orators to teach their children how to become a speaker as well versed as the one who took stage. And so this idea of speech was often elevated in the city of Corinth, and that was also making its way into the church. And so now this whole idea of this gift of tongues, which is a form of a language, is being used. Paul says, don't be ignorant about the spiritual things. I don't want you to be easily led astray. Why does he say that? Well, I'll explain in a moment, but I want to read you a different translation of the same verse. It's from the Living Bible. It's a man's translation. It's not verse by verse out of the Greek, but I check it, and I think, man, it says it well, and it doesn't miss the mark to the original language. The Living Bible says this, but now you are meeting people who claim to speak messages from the Spirit of God. He's talking to the believers. Like, now you're going to meet some people who claim to speak messages from God. How can you know whether they are really inspired by God or whether they are fakes? Can we just be honest for a moment? You ever wondered that? Has everybody ever said, I got a word for God for you? Or God told me to tell you? Have you ever wondered, like, well, did he really? Or are you making this up? Or is this all a sham, a farce, a fake? See, here's what was taking place in the culture. Many of the cult religions practiced ecstatic-inspired speech by which evil spirits spoke through its followers, all right, in the pagan worship. So here's what Paul's saying. Church, you're going to have to be able to understand that what you experience, the tongues, the inspired speech in your former pagan worship in the temples, that's different from the speaking in tongues that believers of Jesus might experience through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't be easily led astray. Is this a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God, or is what you're hearing a demonic manifestation masquerading as an angel of light? Can we just be honest here for a moment? Anyone can claim to speak for God, and the world is full of false teachers. Don't naively accept the words of all who claim to speak on behalf of God or to speak for God or God told me. There are many people who claim to speak for God who are presenting a false gospel that is powerless to save. There are a lot of preachers that fill pulpits that proclaim to have a word from God, but it's not. Then the question becomes, well, then how do you know? I'll share a few things that I look for. Number one, whoever is sharing this with me, I test their credentials. What did they say about Jesus? Who did they say Jesus is? And what do they say that Jesus teaches? Do they walk like Jesus walked? It's not a matter of just what they say, but do I think that they're doing their best to follow Jesus too? Is what they're saying, does it match up to the Bible, to what the Word of God says? Because if it doesn't, that's not of God. God will never contradict himself. God has already revealed himself to us in the Scriptures. So do they stay true to the Word of God? And then the last thing, and Paul says this often, test the spirits. There are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. So test the spirit. Is this of God or is this demonic in nature? Well, Paul says, so I want you to be clear and I want you to not be easily led astray. And so as we talk about these spiritual gifts, Paul says, let me explain to you the source and the purpose of these gifts. And he goes into verse 4, and I've color-coded it so maybe you can see there are certain words that are used often by Paul. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but notice the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of, notice what he says, service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of, what's he say, of working. But in all and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for, no, there's our series, for the common good. So he says there's different kinds, and yet there's also the same. There's different, but there's the same. Notice there's different kinds of gifts. It's the Greek word charisma. It's the same way we would in English say charisma. Sometimes if somebody has the gift of speaking, they say, man, he can speak with charisma, right? That's a gift. That's the word for gift is charisma. Notice what Paul says, and it's the same Spirit who gives these gifts. The gifts are given by the same Spirit. There's the word service. It's the Greek word diakonia. It's the same word that we would use maybe for the word deacons within the church, people who do ministry It's the same Lord who works in the services. When he talks about workings, he's talking about the energema. It's what we would call perhaps the power, the energy, or the workings, and that comes from, yes, the same God. Notice that there's different gifts and services and working, and each part of God's triune identity is involved, all right? So what Paul is trying to teach is this. These gifts, these services, these workings were endowments that have been given to the believers to enable them, now watch this, to do extraordinary work for God and for God's people. And what he goes on to say and teach is this, that every believer has at least one spiritual gift. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been given a spiritual gift. Number one, you have the Holy Spirit, which is the greatest gift, but the Holy Spirit then grants you a spiritual gift. Notice what he says. Now to each one, there it is, every one of you who professes Christ as Savior, and if he has forgiven your sins and you have the Holy Spirit, you are given at least one spiritual gift. These gifts are special abilities that God gives to us, notice this, by his design and by his goodness, his grace to us. Notice what he says. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is giving. You're given this special ability. And then he tells us why. This is the purpose. This gift or gifts are to be used by you, but not for you, for the benefit of others. Notice what he says. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's for the benefit. It's for the building up, the edification of the body of Christ, the church. And just as there is the source and the purpose for these gifts, Paul then goes on in verse 8, and he talks about, but there's a variety of these gifts and different operations in these gifts. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means, notice, of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are, notice what it says, the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, that's a lot. We're not going to break every one of those gifts down. We'll talk about a couple of them, but I want to be clear about a few things right out of the gate. Your natural talents and abilities are not the same as spiritual gifts. Every one of us in this room were born with some natural abilities. You have talents, right? God-given abilities, God-given talents at birth. Spiritual gifts are different. They are given to only the believer. If you're not following Christ, if you've not received Christ, you don't have a spiritual gift. Only believers have spiritual gifts. They have at least one. Now, to each one, the manifestation is given. We've already covered that. But there is a difference. See, God will often incorporate my talents. He'll incorporate my abilities as he designs my spiritual gift for me. So as I, as the believer, present myself in total personality for service, not only to God, but to humanity, here's what I think. The Holy Spirit considers both my natural abilities and talents. He looks at the need that is within the body of Christ and then gives me what he deems best to help the other believers. So a gift, in essence words, is charisma, is a divine enabling of the believer for ministry beyond my natural talents that I may possess or you may possess. You say, well, how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? Well, the evidence of the Spirit-filled life is holiness. It's a set-apartness for God. In other words, holy or righteous living includes a faithful study of the teachings of Jesus, a continual effort by you and me to live out the implications of those teachings on a day-to-day basis. So the Holy Spirit, which is the ultimate gift, is the source of power for this holy living. Let me say this. You can't live a life separated and dedicated to God, holy unto God, by yourself. You don't have the ability to do that. The Holy Spirit is what fills you and enables you to do that. And Paul gives the pattern for this Spirit-filled life as he contrasts what the sin nature and the disobedient life is compared to the spirit-filled life is. If you look in the book of Galatians, the fifth chapter, when he wrote to the church there, he compares and contrasts what he calls the fruits of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. That said, I want you to also make this note very clear. The fruits of the spirit are not the same as the gifts of the spirit. Those are two different things. All right? Those are different. I won't go through all of those, but if you turn to Galatians 5, you'll say the fruits of the spirit is peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and the list goes on. The last one, I believe, is self-control. All right? That is the fruit that is produced because the Holy Spirit is working in you. So a lot of times people say, you know, like if you run a company, you can find out how what your profit margin is, and you can give a shareholders report. You can say, well, here's how much money we made this year. You have measurables, right? Here's the question that's always interesting in the church. Well, how do we measure whether the church is growing? Because just because there's a lot of people in a room doesn't mean that spiritual growth is taking place, right? Because you can have thousands of people and only go this deep in the scriptures. You can just preach something that feels good to everybody, and everybody wants to hear it and feel good about themselves and leave, but not be challenged by the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? And so the difference is, how do you measure growth in the church? I think this is one way to do it. If I look back over 2022 from January to the end to December, how well has Jeff Boyer matured in being a peaceful person, a patient person, a kind person, a gentle person, a faithful person? Go down the list, a self-controlled person. That's the fruits of the Spirit. Those are the produce, the evidence that I'm growing more and more like Jesus. All right? That said, that, I believe, does reveal that you're growing in maturity. Unlike a spiritual gift is not a sign of greater spiritual maturity. It's not. Anybody that tells you it is, it's not true. As a matter of fact, a lot of churches will place emphasis on certain gifts over others. And you're just not as mature, you're not as close to God if you can't do this or you don't have that gift. And that's just not true. Tell you a little bit about who we are at the Church of God, of affiliate of Anderson, Indiana, of which Northwestern Church of God is affiliated. We would call ourselves charismatic from the standpoint that we believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for the purposes of edifying the church and to be on mission in the world. However, we do not speak in tongues as a sign of the Spirit-filled life. Speaking in tongues is not practiced, nor is it used in our public worship gatherings. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about that right now. We'll talk more about that in chapter 14, where Paul addresses that even more. But there are faith groups, denominations, churches that practice speaking in tongues, and many of them believe that the gift of tongues is the evidence of one's salvation. It's evidence of a more closer connection to God, and I would just say not true. It's not grounded in Scripture. I'm not trying to cause an argument with anybody here. I'm just telling you who I am and what we believe at this church. I've actually heard of some churches that pastors or elders will try to teach somebody, well, here's how you speak in tongues. And they'll try to talk like this and try to get them to do it. My friends, that is error and that is total heresy. That's ludicrous. I can say that confidently and boldly because of what we've already read together this morning from the Apostle Paul. The Holy Spirit is the one who distributes and determines your spiritual gifts, not you, not me, not anybody else. And so for me as a pastor to say, hey, if you really want to be closer to God, if you really want to prove you have salvation, you got to have the gift of tongues. Here's how you do it. Now, I'm going to teach you, you learn. That is not biblical. Notice again what Paul said. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. I know there's a lot of times I look at somebody else and they may have a particular spiritual gift. I'm like, man, well, I wish I had that spiritual gift. Man, I wish I was more like that. And I can wish for it all I want, but guess what? If I don't have it, I need to focus on the ones I've been given, because God designed me for a specific set of spiritual gifts and not those. But, you know, if we're in the body together, we get to take advantage of both of those gifts. And so some of us try to focus so much attention on, boy, I wish I could have that, instead of saying, God, what have you given to me, and how do I best use this gift? My friend, I want you to know, that God made you so unique. There is no one like you in the world, right? And I don't know, but praise God there's not two Jeff Boyers. Jeez, this world would be in trouble, right? But there's no one like you in our church body either. And God has designed you to do something unique within this church gathering that no one else can do like you. Oh, sure, somebody else may step up and fill a role, but no one can do what you're called to do like you can do it. And God has carefully selected each believer's spiritual giftings and a place of service within the body of Christ. And so have you found what your spiritual gift is and how you should contribute to the edification of the church? Paul says, listen, there are varieties of kinds of gifts, right? And I kind of put it down. I borrowed this from a pastor friend of mine in Fort Wayne. I like it. You don't find it in the Bible like this, but I like it because it just helps break it down. He says, basically, there's three big areas, right? There are the sign gifts, the speaking gifts, and service gifts. I kind of like that. It flows. I understand that. But what happens is we often misrepresent or misunderstand the use and the purpose of these lists of gifts. I'm not going to go through all of these, but I'm going to highlight just a few. I'm going to highlight the sign gifts just for a moment, okay? Someone might say, well, he has the gift of wisdom. Well, first off, there is no gift of wisdom. You're not going to find that in the scriptures. The gift is the word of wisdom. You say, well, what is that? Why is that important? Well, you got to remember now, in Paul's day, they did not have the Bible like you and I. The Bible had not been written yet, right? They're living it. It's happening then. The Gospels have not been written yet when Paul was starting and planting these churches. So when the church gathered together, what would they do? They don't have a pastor reading from the Bible like I do to you. So what were they to do? Well, the Holy Spirit would give someone a word of wisdom, the ability to speak a word of spiritual truth that would help guide the church, especially during difficult situations. Someone else might be given a word of knowledge, and they would be given the ability to analyze and to clarify information which is needed for the growth and the well-being of the entire church body. Someone else might be given the gift of faith. And you say, well, but I got faith. We all have faith. This is a different kind of faith. This is more than just faith like you and I would know, like I put my faith in Jesus. This is like mountain-moving kind of faith, right? Let me explain it like this. This is the ability to discern with extraordinary confidence the will and the purpose of God, and then to help propel the church body into actively claiming those promises given by God. Let me show you how this works. So when we sit around the table and say, you know, what are we hoping for Be Rich this year? And I'm like, yeah, man, I hope we can beat next year. And you always have one on our team like, Pastor, we're going to beat it. We will. We're going to beat it. That is a part of speaking something that they don't see, they don't know for certain, but they have the confidence. They have this gift of faith that God's going to do this. And there's a lot of wisdom to that, right? Someone else says, well, I have the gift of healing and miracles, the ability to serve as a human intermediary through whom God's healing power is applied to another person's physical or emotional needs. And here's one that's an often misunderstood gift. Someone else says, well, I've been given the gift of discernment. You may have even heard people say that. So-and-so has the gift of discernment. They can read people. It's like they have this knack of like just knowing. They've got the gift of discernment. Well, number one, there's no gift of discernment. If you go back and look at the list, there's a distinguishing or discernment of spirits. Well, what does that mean? It's that you have the ability to know and distinguish whether some certain behavior is of God or if it is of human flesh or demonic. This gift is huge, especially within the church, because this gift prevents and protects the church from false teachers, heresy, confusion, from infiltrating the church. So in the early church, if somebody stood up and had a word of wisdom, and somebody else had a word of knowledge, see how the Spirit works? There's also somebody who had the gift of discerning the spirits, and they say, well, that brother over there who gave that word of wisdom, that wasn't of God. That was an angel of light masquerading as good. And so this is how this works. And the last two, we won't spend a lot of time speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. Again, the Church of God has sought to distance ourselves from the Pentecostal movement on this issue. Matter of fact, if you go into the book of Acts, tongues in the book of Acts was a sign of the church's mission. It was God's way when the tongues, when Pentecost happened, it was God's way of demonstrating that this gospel of Jesus is for everybody. Because if you remember what happened, we won't go into a lot of detail on this, but if you remember, people who were of different nationalities heard the gospel being preached in their own language. It was a language that they understood. Like, hey, I know he's not a part of what I'm a part of, but I understand what he's saying. He's speaking my lingo. He's speaking my vernacular. And that was God giving it. It wasn't a sign for the believers, a sign for the non-believers to show them what was taking place. In other words, this gospel is not to be understood as just our stuff. This gospel is to be understood as God's stuff, and it's for all people. So what I want to get in the weeds today on the phenomena of prayer language or speaking in tongues or interpretation of tongues or even some churches that I know I've seen practice what they call being slain in the spirit. It reminds me of I used to like watching All in the Family. Any of else watch All in the Family? Archie Bunker. Archie would get onto some topic, and they'd get him and Mike Stivic, his son-in-law, would get into this. Says, I don't want to talk anymore about, I'll say this. I don't want to talk anymore about this, but I'll say this. From a doctrinal viewpoint, when you look at the book of Acts, especially this concept of being slain in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit did not lay the church out. It lifted the church up and sent it out on mission. All right? So that's kind of, if I tilted my hand a little bit, there I tilted it. There are five main groups, five main understandings regarding the gifts and variations thereof. I borrowed this from somebody else. Take it or leave it, what you think, but here's an understanding, because there's different understandings about this. Some believe that these gifts are no longer in practice today. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge are no longer needed because they have the Word of God, the full Word of God. Some won't believe that. Some believe that all of these are in practice except for healing down, and those no longer exist. Those would be called cessationists. These gifts were only for the early church, but they're not for us today. In other words, when the apostles died, they all died. It was no longer needed because we have the scriptures and we have the Holy Spirit. There are those who would call themselves continuationists. They believe that the gifts continue since Pentecost, unabated, and all are available to people today by the Holy Spirit. There are those that this gentleman labeled as charismatics. I like this. He put charismatics with a seatbelt. All the gifts are for today, but they must be governed. In other words, there are guidelines for it. They're available, but there are certain scriptural understandings that must be in line. And then he said there's the charismaniacs, that all gifts are for today, and prophecy is often elevated above the written word of God. I want to say just something real quick there, because I've watched a couple church services from different churches of different movement than us, and I watched the end of those services. And a lot of times just yelling the words prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. Those concern me. Anytime you take a moment to prophesy and you elevate that above the written word of God, you better be really leery. Because whatever's being prophesied better match up with the word of God, because if it doesn't, you're in some deep water. Then you have the Pentecostals. All the gifts are for today, and they believe that speaking in tongues is proof that you have the Holy Spirit and salvation. To my Pentecostal brothers and sisters, I love you, but I strongly disagree with you. Speaking in tongues is not evidence that you have the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people that would never proclaim to have the ability to speak in tongues, but are filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not evidence of salvation. What is then? Holiness. Holiness, living more like Christ and doing all that you can to edify the body of Christ. All right? So we'll get to more of that on chapter 14 when we get there, but let's wrap up with the spiritual gifts and unwrapping your gifts. Here's what I want to challenge you before you leave today. Discover your gifts. Find out what gift or gifts God has for you to minister to the body of Christ so that you can make your unique contribution to the church. In 14, it says this, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. There is nothing wrong. You should desire to discover what gifts has God given to me. And if you don't know what those are, we have a class starting next Sunday at 9:30 this hour. So you'd have to come to 8 o'clock worship or 11 o'clock worship in order to go to class because you need to go to both. But I encourage you to take the growth track. There are still slots available. And in the growth track, you get an introduction to who the Northwestern Church of God is, what we believe, how we run our church. But also in there, you'll take a spiritual gift inventory. Pastor Tom Duchital is teaching that. He's even created a few charts and handouts so that you can kind of analyze to help you understand it better. And if you've never done that, I strongly want to encourage you. So see Pastor Todd or Pastor Tom or go back to the Welcome Center. You can go online and register now. But man, I think that would be a huge help for you because you need to discover your gifts. And then once you discover them, you got to develop them. Paul said to Timothy, do not neglect your gift. Once you discovered how God's gifted you, don't neglect it. He gave that gift to you by design. You need to develop it. You need to cultivate it, to grow it and engage it. In 2 Timothy, it says, I remind you to fan into flame. Fan into flame what? The gift of God, which is in you. Not only the Holy Spirit, but the spiritual gifts that God has given you. And sometimes you have to fan those into flame, right? In other words, don't give up. Don't get discouraged, even though things can get tough. Can I just be straight with you? It's not always easy. I believe God has given me the ability and his talent, but also the spiritual giftness to preach. I don't know if we call it that would be called the spiritual gift, but the ability to stand before you and preach. It is not always easy to do that. If I can be honest, sometimes it feels like I'm delivering a baby on a Sunday, right? By 12 o'clock noon, I'm like, oh, I did that 3 times. I gave birth. And you know what? In my head, I got 6 more days and I get to do that all over again. Now, I know that's a little bit of stretch, right, ladies? Come on, dude, really? Maybe not physical pain, but emotional pain. There's a lot of emotion to that. There's a lot of emotion when you stand accountable to God and to you when I get up here and to try to do my best to deliver what I believe is truth as the Holy Spirit leads me. Sometimes it truly is a labor of love. And so there are times I have to remind myself, I got to fan that into flame. I've got to cultivate it. I got to develop it. I got to continue to grow it. I got to continue to engage it if I want to be the pastor that you need me to be and God needs me to be for this congregation. And so you got to discover, you got to develop, and then lastly, you got to use your gifts, y'all. You can't use them if you don't know what they are. So figure out what they are, get on it, but then put them to use. 1 Peter says this, each one of you should use whatever gift you've received so that you can show off before everybody else. No, so that you can serve others, watch this, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Your spiritual gift is a privilege, right? I want you to accept it today, but don't flaunt it. It's not for you. It's for the common good of the body of Christ. Your spiritual gift is also your responsibility. So use it, but don't abuse it. Everyone who is in Christ Jesus has something to contribute, and they are expected to contribute it for the glory of God and for the common good of the body. Amen? So, as you leave today, what will you do? Have you discovered your gift? Have you been developing it? Have you put it into practice? Are you using it? And if you don't know, we would love to help you. Pastor Todd, Pastor Tom, myself, how can you use your gift to edify, to grow the body of Christ right here at Northwestern Church of God? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to pray for you and send you out this morning. Father God, I would pray right now that you would help us to use our grace gifts to encourage and energize and empower your people, your church. I ask you, forgive us for the times that we abuse or disregard or sometimes selfishly refuse to contribute to the common good. But right here, right now, in this moment, empower us as we leave to steward that which you've given us and designed us uniquely to use. As we go back out into the world, may we be light in darkness. May we be hope. May we be people who offer hope amidst despair. May we walk as Jesus walked. May we love as Jesus loved. And all for your glory, Father God, and for the common good of the body of Christ, your radiant bride, which is the church. It's with an attitude of humility and hearts filled with gratitude, we thank you, Lord, in the strong name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. Amen. So be it. Hey, as you go, next week we'll finish up chapter 12. So if you want to read ahead, feel free to do that. Go with God. He'll go with you. We'll see you then.